BBBFFBR by 8686. Chapter 1. Clad in a faded green shower curtain and adorned with a daisy chain crown, Princess Twilight Sparkle sat atop the raised wooden dais in the center of Ponyville Library and regarded the invisible pony who had not just walked through the door.
"Welcome to the court of Princess Twilight Sparkle. How may I help you?"
"No."
"Spike?"
"What?"
said Spike, throwing up his arms.
"You said you wanted criticism."
Twilight groaned in exasperation.
"I said constructive criticism."
"I was getting to that, but then you..."
"Never mind. You can't say how may I help you. It makes you sound like you work at Barnyard Bargains. I feel like I should be asking you where the cheese is right now."
Twilight groaned once more, and gave her dragon assistant an annoyed look.
"Fine. What would you suggest as a good introduction?"
Spike just shrugged casually.
"I don't know. You're the princess."
He picked up his broom once more and nonchalantly reassumed his sweeping. Twilight was certain she had caught a small, smug grin on his face. She resisted the urge to groan a third time. During a recent trip to Canterlot, the princess had suggested that Twilight should start holding an open court in the library. A nice way to ease into her new responsibilities and begin helping the townsfolk with their problems. However, that had immediately presented problems of its own. She couldn't hold court until she knew how to make an appropriate introduction, after all. She had to give just the right impression of approachableness and helpfulness, and practice made perfect. Spike thought the whole thing was hilarious. Twilight turned her attention back to the vacant spot in front of the door.
"Welcome to the yada yada yada. Do you have a problem with which I can help?"
"Seriously?"
The look he got told Spike he needed to start actually being helpful about now.
"You just need to be yourself, Twilight. Don't overcomplicate this. Folks are going to come to you for help. Just ask what you can do for them."
"I thought that's what I was doing,"
thought Twilight. But she drew breath, tried to relax, and prepared to give it another go.
"Hey, some pony's coming,"
said Spike, looking out the front window. He looked back at Twilight excitedly.
"Want to give it a try for real?"
A quick surge of panic erupted before Twilight steeled herself. It would have to happen sooner or later. Might as well be now. She closed her eyes and tried to make herself appear as regal as she could, given that she was sat on top of her table wearing a shower curtain. She waited for the door to open, and then shut with its familiar squeak and thud. Then,
"Welcome to the court of Princess Twilight Sparkle. What can I help you with?"
For a moment, there was only odd silence. Opening her eyes, Twilight was horrified to see Applejack stood hesitantly before her, glancing nervously left and right as though looking for the pony to whom Twilight was really speaking. Looking back at Twilight and coming to the conclusion that, no, it really had been her who'd been addressed, Applejack uncertainly bent her foreleg and began to bow.
"No!"
Twilight yelled, leaping down from the table toward her friend at the speed of fear, sliding across the floor towards her, and rolling on her back, coming to rest beneath Applejack, and using her hooves to press upward into the farm pony's chin and chest, trying to keep them as far away from the ground as possible.
"No bowing, not you. Not my friends. Not ever."
Applejack stood perplexed for just a moment, then broke into a little grin and a quick chuckle before extending a foreleg and helping Twilight back to her hooves. As soon as she was up, Twilight rounded on Spike.
"Spike! Why didn't you tell me it was one of our friends?"
"Are you kidding? I would have told you if it wasn't one of our friends. I wouldn't let you go embarrassing yourself in front of a stranger. Hi, Applejack."
Applejack nodded and touched the brim of her hat in a perfunctory greeting before looking back at Twilight with a quirked eyebrow.
"Are y'all wearing a shower curtain and a hat made out of flowers?"
"I'm trying to get my princessly introduction just right. The robe and crown are for practice."
A muffled guffaw from Spike's direction was all the proof, if proof were needed, that the illusion was not seamless. Twilight ignored him.
"I want to get it perfect for when my brother gets here this afternoon."
"Your brother's coming to visit?"
"Yes.
said Twilight excitedly. He's disguising it as a diplomatic visit, but really, he's just coming to see me. And when he gets here, I want to show him that I can be just as prince-like as he is.
Prince Twilight!
Another belly laugh from the insufferable purple sarcasm machine. Twilight made a face and used her magic to divest herself of her regal attire. That was enough practice for now. She took extra care with her daisy chain crown, though. She'd spent a while making that, and she was quite proud of it.
What can I do for you, Applejack?
Spike broke in again, more seriously this time.
That's good, Twilight. Use that one.
The two exchanged a quick glance. Then Twilight's attention was back with her friend, and Applejack missed a beat before realizing that Twilight was now waiting for her to speak.
Oh, right. Do you have any books on the geology around these parts?
Twilight stopped, realizing she had subconsciously been making her way towards the agricultural section, specifically the section that dealt with apples, and looked quizzically at her friend.
Yeah, I know, not my usual thing, admitted the farm pony. See, me and Big Mac were out walking and looking at the mountains over yonder, and we got into an argument.
Oh, my goodness. You and Big Macintosh aren't fighting, are you?
Applejack chuckled.
Fighting? Nah. When me and Big Mac get fighting, we go at it hammer and hoof.
Applejack gazed upwards with a wistful expression, momentarily lost somewhere in memory.
Heh. We had some real good set-tos in the past. Fierce as can be.
She brought herself back to the present as Twilight floated her a copy of Mountains and Meanders, a complete guide to geography and geology.
This here is just a minor disagreement, and I'm about to prove I'm right.
Taking the book to the table, Applejack began flipping through until she found a likely page. She eagerly began to read the text beneath the heading, Mountains, Glacial, Tectonic, or Volcanic.
Aha!
She exclaimed as she read the first paragraph. Then her smile slowly fell, and as she continued to read, her face became a mask of concentration. By the time she finished the page, she looked decidedly glum. She closed the book with a soft bump. Dang.
You were wrong?
No, she said, turning back to face her friend. But he's more right than I am.
Then her expression improved, and she found her usual cheery timbre.
Well, I guess I better go tell him the good news.
She made for the door, and Twilight was about to let her go, but something stuck in her mind, something that contradicted all logic.
Applejack? You don't enjoy fighting with your brother, do you?
Applejack looked back, confused.
Huh?
When you were talking about fighting, it sounded like you had fond memories of it.
Well, you've got an older brother. You know what it's like, right?
Twilight just shook her head in mute confusion.
Really?
Shining Armor and I have never had a fight. Not even a little one. How could having a fight possibly be a good thing?
Applejack turned away from the door and sat opposite her friend. She thought for a moment, trying to find the right words, and then began.
It's not a good thing. No pony likes fighting, Sugar Cube, but they happen. And for some reason, the fiercest fights you have are always with the ponies you care about the most. It could be the most heated argument there ever was. It could be something that you're so passionate and so angry about at the time, you feel like winning is the most critical thing in the world. It don't matter. It never matters. 'Cause sooner or later, there's always a point when you both realize that what you're fighting about is nowhere near as important as the fact that you love and care about each other. And when that happens, that's a real special feeling.
Applejack's tone had turned wistful once more.
Me and Big Mac have had a few real good fights in our time, but I can hardly remember what any of them were about.
She looked Twilight in the eyes.
But I can remember how each and every one ended. Lots of crying, and always with us growing a little closer together.
So, you're saying that to feel closer to your brother, you have to fight with him? That's...
She was about to use the word ridiculous, but considerately modified it to...
counterintuitive.
Applejack just smiled, closed her eyes, and shook her head. Twilight wasn't quite getting it. She tried a different tack.
You've seen it yourself with Celestia and Luna. That whole Nightmare Moon ruckus was basically just a big fight over how long the moon should stay up. And you were there when that fight ended. And guess what? Lots of crying,
and it brought them closer together.
Twilight paused. In fact, she almost stopped working completely. The idea of conflict bringing two ponies closer was so illogical that she had just about been to file this conversation in her Crazy Things My Friends Say folder. But now she couldn't. The science brain had kicked in. Applejack had posited a theory. She had made a reasoned argument. And, crucially, she had been able to provide supporting evidence, even if calling Luna's thousand-year banishment a fight over how long the moon should stay up was something of an understatement. She couldn't simply dismiss it now. Independent research was needed.
"Thanks, Applejack. You've given me something to think about."
Applejack looked suspicious for a moment, then decided that her reservations were unfounded.
"No problem, Twi. Enjoy the afternoon with your brother. I'll see you around. Later, Spike."
"Bye, AJ."
And with that, the Stetson-wearing apple farmer left the library, bound for her homestead. As soon as she was gone, Twilight called for her assistant.
"Spike, I need a parchment and quills, pronto."
She raised a hoof to her chin, thinking as the little dragon raced to gather the requested items. She glanced at a clock on the wall. Her brother would be here in just over an hour. Plenty of time to prepare. The train ride from the Crystal Empire to Ponyville had felt like it would never end. It wouldn't have been so bad, Shining Armor thought, if he hadn't been accompanied by two of the castle guards, in full armor, carrying spears. They created a certain atmosphere. Protection had been cited as the reason. Protection from what, exactly, was a question to which there was, suspiciously, no answer forthcoming. Shining Armor had nearly had heart palpitations when the express had finally arrived and the guards had made as if to step off the train with him. Protection, they'd said. But there was no way he was going to lead a pair of armed guards into Ponyville, much less to his sister's house. He told them in no uncertain terms that he was in one of the safest parts of the world, and that there was absolutely no need. When they tried to protest, he'd pulled rank on them and made sure they'd stayed on the train as it left, back towards the Empire. As he watched the locomotive vanish into the distance, he breathed a quiet sigh of relief. Finally, he could relax. Officially, this was a small diplomatic mission to Ponyville. In actual fact, it was a holiday. A few days with no responsibilities and nothing to do except unwind and pay a long-overdue visit to his little sister. He had been looking forward to it for a while. He trotted casually through the town, giving hellos and good afternoons to all who crossed his path. He took a wrong turn a couple of times. He'd never actually been to Ponyville before finally coming upon the huge tree that could only be the town library and the home of his younger sibling. He knocked eagerly at the door and patiently waited until it was opened a few moments later by Spike. Shining Armor smiled, happy to see him, but instead of letting him in, the small dragon blocked his entrance with the door half closed. In a low murmur and with an embarrassed expression, Spike offered,
"Look, just go along with it, okay?"
Then he stepped back, pulling the door fully open with a flourish and turned to the side with a smart salute.
"Announcing Prince Shining Armor of the Crystal Empire!"
Shining Armor stepped into the library where he saw his younger sister, sat on top of a wooden table, wearing what looked for all the world like a shower curtain.
"Welcome to the court of Princess Twilight Sparkle. What can I do for you, Prince Shining Armor?"
Shining Armor cocked a smile and got with the program instantly. Bending his foreleg and neck in an exaggerated bow, he replied,
"Your Majesty, I have traveled a great distance from the frozen north. Might I seek respite and shelter in your peaceful town for a few days?"
Twilight opened her mouth as if to reply with something equally formal, but she was always going to be the first one to crack. Instead, she burst into a fit of giggles and jumped to the floor, running over to her brother, throwing her hooves around him and nearly knocking him to the floor.
"Hiya, big brother!"
Shining Armor just looked down at his little sister and grinned.
"Hey there, Twily!"
Twilight released her brother and led him into the middle of the library as he removed his saddlebags with simple levitation and stowed them neatly against the wall. Without warning, Twilight rounded on him.
"I am very annoyed at you, Shining Armor.
You're a full 10 minutes late, and you can't just toss your bags around whenever you feel like it. And, you've trodden some dirt in my house. This is unacceptable. I really am very, very angry with you.
Shining Armor had paused in mid-step once the tirade had begun. Shock didn't even begin to cover it.
Whoa, Twilight, are you okay? Is something the matter?
He asked, worried.
What the matter is that I am not happy with you, Shining Armor. We are now having an argument. What do you have to say for yourself?
He had no idea why his sister had got so upset so quickly, and he looked at her with a sympathetic expression.
Hey, Twily.
He stepped up close and put his hoof under her chin.
I'm sorry, okay? If I've done something wrong, I'll make it up to you. All right?
Twilight's mood instantly changed from angry to tearful. She once again threw her hooves around her brother and hugged him tight.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Big Brother. I didn't mean all those things. You don't need to make it up to me. Can we just forgive each other?
Of course we can.
Shining Armor was clueless as to what he was supposed to forgive her for.
Okay, good.
And with that, Twilight released her brother and took a couple of steps back, tearful expression vanishing in a flash. Instead, she looked expectant, as though she were waiting for something to happen. After a moment, Shining Armor opened his mouth to speak, but Twilight raised a foreleg to cut him off before he could say anything. Twilight's expression gradually became more confused as the seconds wore on.
I don't feel anything.
She rubbed her chin with a hoof, deep in thought.
What?
I don't understand. We established a conflict, had a heated argument, both offered apologies and forgave each other, and brought the confrontation to an end. That's all the criteria needed for a successful fight.
Stunned, Shining Armor could only mouth, "A successful fight?" He didn't get the chance to speak again before Twilight was over by the table, surrounded by books and writing on a parchment, muttering about needing to record the results. Then she was back before her brother, a checklist and quill poised and ready.
Would you say that our fight just now has A. brought us closer together, B. pushed us further apart, or C. kept our relationship about the same?
About the same. Twilight, what's going...
Aha! I knew it! That's what I put, too. See?
She excitedly turned the parchment to reveal two neatly ticked boxes in the column marked C. Shining Armor was reluctantly coming to the conclusion that his sister had gone nuts. He looked desperately at Spike for some kind of explanation as to what was happening.
One of Twilight's friends mentioned that after every fight with her brother, they felt a little closer together.
Exactly! I thought it sounded odd, but now I have proof. Fighting doesn't have any measurable benefit on the relationship between two ponies.
Still at a loss for words, Shining Armor could only look from Twilight to Spike, who simply shrugged. Then Twilight spoke again.
I've got to go report my findings. I'll be back soon. Make yourself at home while I'm gone.
She trotted over to the door in a cheerful manner and left the library, closing it behind her. Shining Armor looked at Spike. Spike looked at Shining Armor.
Hey, Armor. What's up?
Spike, Wilbro, please tell me my sister hasn't gone crazy.
Applejack was tending to the pigs when Twilight found her. She trotted up, carrying the parchment under her wing, and without salutation exclaimed,
I was right.
Right about what?
Shining Armor and I just had a huge fight, and when we were finished, we both felt exactly the same way as we had before. See?
She produced the scroll with the two ticked boxes in the column marked C.
You? You had a fight with your brother? Just now?
It was evident that Applejack was unconvinced.
Yes, said Twilight defensively. And it was a real fight, too. It qualified in every regard.
Applejack looked at Twilight with a deadpan expression.
And what was this fight about, Twi?
Twilight did not appreciate the continued insinuation that the argument she had just had was anything other than a proper, genuine conflict. But she found she was hard-pressed to say what it was about at all. It had just been a fight.
Well, it doesn't matter. We had a real fight, and we both apologized and forgave each other. Then we were right back to where we started. No closer together, no further apart.
Using magic, she waggled the talismanic parchment.
Clearly, therefore, this is proof of my theory that fighting and conflict does not improve the relationship between two ponies.
She finished with triumphant aplomb. Applejack simply stood looking at her. A moment passed, Then she turned her head to the side and called, "Big Macintosh!" as loudly as she could. A few moments later, the lumbering red stallion appeared and ambled his way over to where they stood. He nodded at Twilight and looked at his sister.
AJ?
Mac, do you remember the last real fight we had?
Big Macintosh looked at the sky as he searched his memory.
8 months, 6 days.
You remember what it was about?
The stallion now looked at the ground and concentrated. His recollection was usually excellent, but on this occasion it failed him.
Nope.
You remember how it ended?
Big Macintosh looked up into Applejack's eyes. Then his lips curled into a faint smile, and his eyes began to water. Slowly, he stepped up beside his sister, gently placed a foreleg around her withers and pulled her into a close hug as he spoke quietly into her ear.
Yep.
Applejack nuzzled him back in reply. Twilight could only watch, stunned, as Applejack and Big Macintosh hugged, apparently on the verge of shedding tears. She could pretend that they were tragically relieving the memory of some huge bust-up that had nearly driven them apart. That would still fit her theory, but it was obvious from their smiles that it was not the case. The hug persisted until the moment before it would have become awkward for Twilight to watch any longer. Big Macintosh gave his sister a final squeeze, then released her.
"Thanks, Big Mac,"
said Applejack softly, hurriedly wiping something from her eye and catching a quick sniffle. The stallion nodded and, his work apparently done, ambled off back towards the farmhouse to make himself productive once more. Applejack looked back at Twilight.
"How's your theory now?"
Twilight struggled for a response. She now had two completely contradictory pieces of evidence, and, as sometimes happened when trying to reconcile a tough problem, she found herself speaking out loud, words following her thoughts as quickly as they entered her head. First, she tried to posit that Applejack's evidence wasn't valid since their fight wasn't recent, but she dismissed that suggestion. The contemporaneousness of the fight wasn't the issue, its effects were, and she had just seen those effects first hoof. Then she considered whether there was something amiss with the fight she'd had with Shining Armor, but she couldn't figure out what that might be. By every measure she had read about, they had had a real fight, and yet she was certain that in the months to come, they wouldn't be looking back on it with enough fondness as to be almost moved to tears. Since both pieces of evidence were concluded as valid, there weren't many other avenues to explore in relation to modifying the theory. The most obvious point of interrogation was to assume that where the results differed, it had something to do with the pre-existing relationships of the ponies involved. Perhaps those ponies with a weaker family bond were more given to feelings of togetherness after a fight, while that feeling was unnecessary in ponies who had a stronger...
What?
Twilight stopped, the train of thought in her head coming to a crashing halt. Applejack looked ready to split snakes.
What are you saying? That me and Big Mac ain't as close as you and your brother?
Well, it was logical to assume that the greater number of fights between family members correlated to a poorer family relationship. And, by Applejack's own admission, she and her brother had statistically had a far larger...
Don't you go using your fancy mathematics and try to prove nothing here, Twilight. There ain't no family in the world has got a stronger bond than the Apples, and that goes double for me and my kin.
Twilight tried to backpedal, stating that she didn't mean to imply... But Applejack was on a roll.
How can you say y'all are closer to your brother than I am to mine? I see my brother every day, morning, noon, and night. You've seen yours, what, 5 or 6 times since you moved to Ponyville?
That touched a nerve, and Twilight, suddenly angry, abandoned all hope of scientific evaluation.
My brother is a prince. He has to be responsible for a whole empire, and just because I don't get to see him as often as I'd like doesn't mean we care any less about each other. Oh, so how does being a prince make your brother better than mine? Being a prince has nothing to do with it. Shining Armor was the best big brother in the world before he was ever a prince. Nothing doing, Twilight. Big Macintosh is the best brother there ever was.
From somewhere far back in her mind, behind the veil of anger that had descended like a suffocating wet blanket, Twilight managed to register disbelief. Had it really degenerated to this? The "my brother can beat up your brother" argument heard in school playgrounds since time immemorial? What had happened to them both? Desperately, her rational mind tried to claw its way free of the bitterness and vitriol that was continuing to take hold. But anger was in control for a precious few moments, and in that time it forced her to utter two words.
Prove it!
It went downhill fast after that. It had taken longer than he thought it would, but Spike had finally convinced Shining Armor that Twilight didn't need to be carried off by the ponies in white coats. Instead, he'd managed to get him to realize that, in typical Twilight fashion, a small number of things said or done over there had once again had a massive, unpredictable consequence over here. Twilight's brain was basically a model of chaos theory in action. The shower curtain he hadn't been able to explain, though. But with the questions of her sanity out of the way, and with seemingly nothing to do except wait until Twilight returned, Shining Armor and Spike largely spent the remainder of the time relaxing and hanging out in the living area. Shining Armor had always got on well with Spike, ever since the day Twilight had first brought him home after her entrance exam. He'd practically adopted him as his little brother on the spot. It was fair to say that initially their parents had mixed feelings about the whole situation. In fact, even on that first day, they had started looking for ways to rehome a potentially dangerous, potentially gigantic, dragon. When little Twilight had found out and begged them not to, they'd made the sympathetic noises parents do and made as if to carry on anyway. It wasn't until Shining Armor had planted his flag in Twilight's camp and reasoned with them that they'd finally agreed to let Twilight keep her newly hatched companion. So, Spike owed a great deal to Shining Armor, and he knew it, too. But to say it was a one-sided relationship would be doing the dragon a disservice. Spike had, for instance, thrown Shining Armor one heck of a bachelor party. Lost Pegasus never knew what hit it, and the fact that it had been almost 3 weeks after his wedding ended up being rather beside the point. They treated each other as though they were brothers in a very real sense, which at the moment involved emptying Twilight's fridge, telling bad jokes, and playing outdoor sports indoors, where any of a dozen fragile ornaments might suffer a catastrophic impact at any moment, all the while laughing and shouting together uproariously. Dusk had set in, a symptom of the shortening days as autumn teetered upon the brink of winter, before the door downstairs opened and closed again with a slam. As brothers do, Spike and Armor quickly made to hide all evidence of their afternoon indiscretions. Food wrappers were clumsily shoved behind books, cushions hastily rearranged on couches, hoofballs lobbed indiscriminately over there somewhere, and euphoric panic set in as they tried to make the room look presentable before Twilight's hoofbeats reached the top of the stairs. The nonchalant look they both gave when she reached them would have fooled no one, but Twilight wasn't in the mood to give much attention as she stormed in with a growl. Shining Armor and Spike exchanged a glance before saying in unison,
"Twilight?"
Twilight began pacing around the room, seemingly unable to decide whether she was angry, annoyed, upset, depressed, or a combination of some, all, or none of those emotions. This went on for a few moments too long, and awkwardness set in before Shining Armor placed himself in her path, forcing her to either bump into him or stop. She stopped, looked up at him with a fixed scowl. Then her face softened.
"You are the best big brother in the world, aren't you?"
He looked down at her and smiled.
"Only if you say so, sis."
A determined expression crossed Twilight's features.
"Good, because tomorrow, you're gonna prove it."